Genesis chapter number 22. I want to say I had great liberty last night, and I appreciate that. I know that comes from God and through His Holy Spirit, and I understand that. But a church has to be willing to allow that to happen. You have to be right to do it. And I'll repeat what Brother Wynn said. I appreciate the sister that stood up here and gave a testimony. And she asked Jesus to forgive her in front of a congregation of people. That's courage. That's humility. And God honors that. I don't know. I've stood before congregations before and apologized. I'm sure Brother Wynn has. Maybe you all have too. I don't know. And I don't do it out of courage. I really do it out of fear. I don't know how many times I've come to church aggravated and stopped in the parking lot and told my kids, my wife and my kids, we're not getting out of this car till we get our hearts right with God. I've stopped in our driveway, backing out of the driveway to go to church and stopped the car and said, all right, we're going to pray because we need to get right with God before we go to church. So anyway, you see, I ain't all together. Noah's back there. He's saying, Dad, why'd you get this guy to come back? I guess it's on. In Genesis 22, we find a very familiar story. I don't want to read it all, but you'll see where I'm going with this and where God has put this all together tonight about humility and coming to a place of realization. And you have to come to that place with God that your heart's right with God before God can give you what you need. When we come to the place to where we truly need God, there are requirements, not from me, not from your pastor, but from God Almighty. There's things that has to happen before that we can receive what we need from God. Read with me in Genesis chapter 22. In verse number 1, your Bible says this, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Moriah means provided by Jehovah. He says, I'm going to give you a place to go, first of all, but you have to be obedient and go there. Verse number 3 says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac said unto Abraham his father and said, spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Let's pray tonight. Father, I do thank you for the reading of thy word. I thank you, Lord, that your word, you tell us that thy entrance of thy word giveth light. Now I pray that you'll use that light to brighten my mind, illuminate my thoughts. Father, help me to be what you've called me to be. I realize at my very best I'm unworthy and unfit, but you've called me, you saved me, then you called me, you've placed me into the ministry. Now, Father, I'm going to ask you to preach through us. Use us now as a mouthpiece and a vessel that'll glorify and honor you. I pray you'll help this people tonight, Lord, for that one that's here tonight not saved. I pray, Father, you'd convict their soul with all your power and might. Draw them to the place where by faith they can trust Jesus and be born again. I pray, Father, for all these that are here tonight saved, looking for help. I'm going to ask you, Father, to give them exactly what they need. Father, you know the thought that's been on my heart all day, the thought, God, that I feel you'd have us to preach. Father, again, you just take control now. You preach what you want, and I'll just step aside, and I pray, God, be glorified, and we'll thank you for all that's done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. When Abraham took his son, God spoke to Abraham. The Bible says he tempted Abraham, but we realize that God does not tempt man with sin or to do wrong. That word tempt there means that he's going to prove him. He's going to make sure that he can trust Abraham. Now you realize that God knows the very intents of our heart. He knew when we woke up this morning what we intended to do and how the end would come and what would happen when we got to church tonight. God knows all that. But he was going to give Abraham a chance here to prove something. So he told him to take his son, go out to Moriah. He said, I'm going to show you a place there where I want you to sacrifice your son. He didn't promise him anything. God didn't say, if you'll sacrifice your son, I'll give you this, or I'll give you that, or I'll do this for you, or I'll do that for you. He said, Abraham, if you love me, you go and do what I tell you to do. Can you imagine if God spoke down, hey, God won't do this. He will never ask you to sacrifice a human body. Never. He'll never ask you to sacrifice a turtle dove. He'll never ask you to sacrifice a night crawler. It doesn't matter what it is. God is not interested in a sacrifice now. What his sacrifice was made when he gave his son on Calvary, that sacrifice was once and for all. It's a done deal. He's not going to ask you to do this. But if God asks for us to take something that we love and give it to him, just give it to him. What about our prayer life? Is that not something that God loves? He wants us to give him our prayer life. He wants us to give him praise for what he's done. He wants us to do something that Abraham did here. He wants us to lay down our pride. If you notice in the first verse when God spoke to Abraham, Abraham answered, here I am. But any other time, every other time that he speaks to Abraham in the verses that I read to you tonight, he says, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham says, here am I. All of a sudden, his pride was put in its place. It was put to the rear of the conversation. Abraham realized, I'm nothing. All that I am, I should be last. I should be put last. Jesus said, he that will make himself first shall be last in the kingdom of heaven. So when we were lifted up in pride, God says, we're going to have to get rid of this. Now, I don't mean to throw off on Abraham. I realize Abraham was a man of faith. He's called, you don't understand all the names. He's the father of faith and all that. But Abraham was a man just like any other man. And God says, I want you to take your son out there. As he took his son out to Moriah, Isaac started asking questions as they started up the mountainside. Father, I see the wood and I have the fire, but where is the lamb? And Abraham answers, God himself. God will provide himself a lamb. He says, God will give us what we need, son, when we do what God's asked us to do. You say, well, preacher, what does he ask us to do? The first thing that Abraham did, he produced an altar. He got up to the top of that mountain and he built an altar. Can I ask you a question tonight? Where is yours? Where are our altars. I mean, I have a certain place where I go and pray. And I'm not being boastful at all. I don't spend as much time in that place as I should. But there's a place that I go alone by myself to pray. There's a place in this church that's called an altar. You're to use that. There's a lot of churches and churches around my home and around the area over there and in West Virginia and the other places that I've been. The people act like they're afraid to come to an altar. Why are God's people so afraid of an altar? He's not asking you to bring anything up here and kill it. He's not asking you to come up here and actually give him anything. What he asks you to do, though, is to come to a place set aside to worship him. Set aside for a place to offer him thanksgiving. A place set aside to give him praise for what he is for you. What he does for you. Who he is. As they sung that song, the choir sang about him being worthy. The ladies sang. They talked about how he's worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. You realize that's the first song we'll hear when we walk into heaven. They'll be singing around the throne and the angels and the 24 elders and all that around the throne. They sing, worthy is the Lamb, the Lamb of God. Why is he worthy? Why is the Lamb of God worthy? Because he died on Calvary? Because he washed my sins away? Because he took my sins and blotted them out for his sake, the Bible says? Is he worthy because he gives me everything I need? Is he worthy because he supplies everything that I can even imagine that I need for my family? Is he worthy because he gives me health and strength? Is he worthy because he lets me go and preach? No. 10,000 times no. You know why he's worthy? Because who he is. If he never gave me anything, if I am stricken with cancer tomorrow, I don't want to be, but if I am, he's still worthy. If I never hear from God again this side of eternity, he's still worthy. If I had to live my whole life on this earth serving him and preaching about Jesus and die and go to hell, he would still be worthy. That won't happen. I can't go to hell. I'll never see hell besides casting Satan into the lake of fire when it's all over. But if I had to live my entire life and die broke, alone, and homeless, Jesus is still worthy. That's who he is. So, preacher, you're not really encouraging us tonight. I want to encourage you to come to an altar. I'll give you a challenge tonight. Go home. When you go home tonight, find one place in the Scripture where God accepted a sacrifice and it wasn't on an altar. Everything that God accepts comes across an altar. The cross was his altar. This Mount Moriah was his altar. It was a place Abraham went out there and he produced an altar. Then he provided a sacrifice. Isaac climbed up on that altar. And I realize there's a lot of typology in this, and Isaac's the type of the son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself and laid on the altar because his father asked him to. But Isaac could have easily ran from Abraham if he wanted to. Abraham is an old man now. Isaac just young. He could have got him and ran. Surely to goodness could outrun him. Probably could have whipped him if he really wanted to. I mean, my daddy's 63 years old now. And I'll be 39 in just a few weeks. I could whip my daddy if I wanted to. You know what keeps me from whipping my daddy? Because I love my daddy. And I respect my daddy. Now, my daddy'd argue with me. He'd still think he can whip me. But if my dad walked through that door tonight, right now, not while I'm preaching, but at the end of the service, if I walked out that door and my daddy said, son, lay down that parking lot right there. And he had a reason. He's a joker. He likes to play games. But if I knew he was serious and he said, son, I want you to lay down right there. You know, guess what Brother Chuck would do? I'll lay down that parking lot because he's my daddy. Isaac did what the father asked him to do. You know what the father's asked us to do? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's Romans 12:1. He said, if you're a child of God, you're supposed to put yourself on an altar every day. A living sacrifice. He don't want you to die. He wants you to live. He wants you to live in the same resurrection power that our Savior lives in. Abraham went, he produced an altar, then he provided a sacrifice. Isaac laid down. And when Isaac laid down, he presented his son to God, ready to slay him. You know the story. Just before that knife was thrust into the chest, or I really think he was going to, I can't prove this exactly, but I really believe he was going to cut his throat. And I've got reasons to believe that. But it doesn't matter. He was fixing to slay his son. And just before that, the angel of God spoke to him. Now notice, I want you to notice something here. It says the angel of the Lord spoke to Abraham. So who is that? That's Jesus. You said, preacher, you can't prove it. Yes, I can. Hold on just 1 minute. When it said the angel of the Lord spoke unto him, he said, now thy seed, he said, you've not withheld thy son, thine only son Isaac. He says, just hold on, Abraham. I'm not going to take your son. And then he says, it said the angel of the Lord spake to him, then says, I see that you've not withheld your son from me. So God was standing there talking to Abraham. That was Jesus Christ, God's Lamb. And he says, no, Abraham, I didn't want your son anyway. I wanted your faith. If you want to see revival, show God your faith. Offer him your pride. Come back to an altar. If you read through the book of Exodus and you read where God gave the instructions to build the tabernacle, after all those pieces of furniture through the tabernacle, I don't have time to go into all that, but in there he says, inside the holiest of holies, there's a mercy seat. He said, that's where the blood will be applied. And then it says this, and he says, and there is where I'll meet you. Right there is where I'll meet you. You know what that is? It's not at the back of the church. It's not the furniture of the tabernacle that y'all are sitting on. It's at the mercy seat. You say, preacher, you tell me I can't get to God without coming to that altar? You can't get to him like he wants you to get to him. Listen, I came tonight with every intentions of preaching to you on where is the Lamb. I love it. I love that message. God's let me preach it 2 or 3 times, and I just love the thoughts of it. And sitting there tonight on that pew beside Brother Wynn, Brother Wynn looked at me. He said, are you ready? And I said, can't you sing one? Because God had changed my mind. I like it. I love it when he does this because I know it ain't me. It ain't me at all. But he says, Abraham, since you're up here and you've produced that altar and you've provided the sacrifice and you presented your son, now I'm going to do something for you. Abraham hears over to the side a ram caught in a thicket. Can I ask you a question? Y'all mountain folks, have you ever seen a billy goat, and that's basically what we're talking about, caught in a thicket? They eat that stuff. I mean, you're with me. Surely you understand that. A billy goat caught in a thicket would be like me getting caught in a steak. Yeah. I mean, like getting caught in that chicken casserole that the sister fixed for us this evening. Listen, man, I can eat my way out of it. That ram was there, and I believe when it bleated out, you know, it's Abraham. I believe he called his name. That lamb, that ram caught there, and you say it wasn't a lamb, it was a ram. A ram is a male sheep. And there he stood with thorns wrapped around his head. You see the picture? Jesus Christ was our sacrifice given with thorns wrapped around his head. And he said, I'll go instead. Abraham says, here am I. Laid his pride down. Laid down all that would keep him from getting to what God wanted. And God says, all right, I've proved my servant. He says, Abraham, I knew where your heart was. But you got to see here, you understand, God knew that Abraham, all Abraham wanted to do was follow God. God looks at Brother Wynn and knows in his heart all he wants to do is follow God. And when God looks at me, whether you can see it or not, all he knows, all my heart, my spirit, man, inside, all I want to do is follow God. But the question is, can we put the flesh down? Can I control my flesh enough to do what God wants? God will say, Chuck. Sometimes I'll say, yeah, Lord, what do you want? What now? Something else? You ever get tired? Sir, I'm going to be real honest with you for just a minute. You ever get tired of going on for God? Seems like when nobody else does. You ever get tired of that? I stood one time in a pulpit. God sent me to one of the bigger churches in Bristol. I don't know why. Brother Wynn and I talked about it at dinner tonight. I really still don't know why that I was sent to that place. Everybody, I had one preacher got real jealous of me because I was at that big church. I don't care about it being a big church. Listen, I've preached to 4 people and I preached to 400. When I was in that place, there was 4 people left in that little old church there in Bristol. Bob Phillips is the only deacon. He was holding the place together. The preacher pastor that was there, he was just there for money. When the bank account went out, he run off. Yeah. I got told last night, sitting right there on that pew, about another preacher done the same thing to a little old church, some good church. Put him $100,000 in debt. Easter Sunday morning, walked in, says, I'm done, got his stuff and left. Didn't even preach or nothing. You know what he was there for? Money. That one preacher got mad at me because I was part of this big church. They put me on staff there, like a part-time staff thing. And I can't do part-time. I was at that church 40, 50 hours a week. They were part, and I wasn't upset about the money. I just wanted to do something for God. I didn't care what they paid me. I just knew that's where God wanted me to be, and they took advantage of me because I would be there no matter what. You say, preacher, you bragging? No, listen to me. I walked up to that church, and I said, I'm the pastor of that church. I said, preacher, I'm done. I'm going back where God wants me to go. He said, son, I thought you said God sent you here. I said, he did. I don't know why, but he did. I've had preachers lie on me about I'm only there for the money. Yeah, they paid me $212 a week. I was there for the money. And others said, well, he's just there for the name. I never asked them to put my name on nothing. Matter of fact, the church secretary put my name in the church bulletin one week and I told her to take it out. Not interested in my name, but I'm interested in his name. I left that church and left the part-time salary and I went out in evangelism to serve God. Ain't missed nothing. God's took care of me. He always has and he always will. But in that little church where there was 4 people, Brother Bob Phillips came up to me and he says, Brother Chuck, he's crying. Elderly man, been in that church for 40 years. He did build the building with his own hands physically, but he part of the building. And he says, preacher, he said, we had a man come in here a few weeks ago, and when he said there was only 4 people here, he wouldn't even preach to us. Wasn't worth it. And he said, you preach to us like the house is full. And I said this. I said, Brother Phillips, I didn't come preach for you. I came to preach for Jesus. I didn't come here this week to preach for Brother Wynn. I came here to preach for Jesus. I came here to help you. And I came here to help Brother Wynn if I can. I don't see how that's possible. I really don't. With everything in me, and I'm sincere, that man knows more about God than I mean, he's forgot more than I'll ever know. You've heard that statement, but I don't know if he's ever forgot anything. And I'm not trying to lift him up. I'm not trying to butter him up. He likes me already. I'm saying this. I don't see how or why God chose to use me. But when he told me to go, I went. And since I went, he's proved his servant. I've seen teenagers come running to Jesus and be saved. I've seen an elderly man, 74 years old, come to Jesus in his living room floor. I've seen this and I've seen that, and I could tell you things that I've watched God do. Chuck didn't have nothing to do with it. I just went where God told me to go. And I laid down what God told me to lay down. And my faith, I just trusted him. See, I believe with all my heart God's trying to get some of y'all to lay some stuff down. Why else would he preach this? I believe with all my heart he's trying to get some of y'all to do a little bit more, go a little farther. And I believe he's trying to get you to just come out and let him prove you. See, your flesh wants to say right there, I don't have to prove nothing. You don't to me. But God would like for you to. How much do you trust him? How much have you given him? Abraham said, I'll give everything. I'll give everything. You asked me to lay one of my children down. I've got three beautiful girls. That's my wife, Tammy, and Cassie, and Chloe, on my little baby, Chloe. And she ain't a baby, but she's my baby. And that Caitlin, our oldest girl, she's still sick. I've been blessed with three beautiful girls and a beautiful wife. But when I come to this place, if God would say, lay down your daughter, any of them, and I'll save the church. I don't think I can do that. If God said, Chuck, you lay down one of your daughters, and I'll save everybody on the face of the earth, I'd say, let Brother Wynn go preach to him. I don't have that kind of faith. But when God says, hey, Brother Chuck, how about you go to an altar, pray, and trust me for your daughter's lives? Why don't you go to the altar and pray and ask me to protect your daughter as she starts to drive? Why don't you go and pray and ask me to take a blood disease away from Cassidy? Guess where I go? I go to an altar. Guess what he does? He does what I ask him. Because you deserve it, I don't deserve nothing. At my very best, I deserved hell. But he took the blood disease away from Cassidy. I can't even pronounce it. If I tried, Tammy will laugh at me. It's some German doctor's name. The blood vessels in her legs and her body were rupturing inside of her. It's nasty stuff. Preacher, was you scared? Yep. Preacher, what'd you do? I took her to an altar. I stretched her out. We prayed. And I said, now, Lord, you don't owe me nothing. I don't deserve what you give me. But I've brought her where you've asked me to bring her. And I've asked you what you told me to ask you. Now I'm just going to trust you. We sat in St. Jude's Hospital down there in Johnson City. Upstairs in a little St. Jude's wing, saw these little youngins around me with cancer and going through all that. And I said, God, I ain't above that. I know. And I don't deserve any better than the rest of these have got, but I've asked you for something. God says to me, she's fine. She'll leave here today fine. She left there today just fine. Amen. Nothing wrong with her. So, preacher, why? Because God proved his servant. Then God provided the sacrifice. Abraham prepared a sacrifice, but God provided the sacrifice. If you need something tonight, you need help from God, he's already provided it. He's provided everything you need. Its name's grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Listen, he's provided peace. He has peace that passeth all understanding. Preacher, what do I got to do to get it? You got to go to your altar. So, preacher, you're just trying to get people to move. Yes, I am. You're just trying to persuade us to come to the front so you can put on Facebook that there was a great move in the church. If I never see Facebook again, I want to see a great move in the church. Not for me. I promise you, you'll never see anything on Facebook about me bragging about a meeting. I might brag about God, and I will do that, but it ain't about me. If I leave here tonight and die on the way home, my heart's desire would be that I could look out of heaven and God say, look there. Look there, because you were obedient to me, they got help. Somebody left here last night lost. I woke up in the middle of the night crying, broken, because somebody left here last night without Jesus. I can't say for sure that they're back tonight or not. I feel like they are. You say, preacher, who is it? I am not a fortune teller. I'm not the Holy Ghost. But I serve him. If you would come to an altar, Jesus will give you what you need. He'll give you him. He'll give himself to you. He'll save you forever and eternity. But you have to come to the place where he's provided. Lay yourself down. Abraham, after he had been proved and God provided a sacrifice, he pronounced a covenant. He said, Abraham, from thy seed, I'll make my chosen nation. He said, I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. He's talking about the nation of Israel. Y'all know that. Jacob came from Abraham, later changed to Israel. Because of one man. I think D.L. Moody, or maybe it's Charles Spurgeon, one of the two, said it's never been seen what God could do with one man that was completely sold out to him. That may not be an exact quote, but one man. Could one man really make a difference? I believe Brother Wins made a difference. And I believe very little, but I've made a little difference. You know how he says for us to make a difference? And of some having compassion, making a difference. You just got to love people like Jesus loved you. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. Nobody. There's a young man that actually was going to come with me tonight. He's a young preacher. I gave him his first suit. I bought him a Bible. Bought him some shoes. Trying to make him look like a preacher. That boy was a troublemaker. He was a clown. And I watched God get a hold of him. And God just started changing him, and I rejoiced. And the boy came to me one day and said, I feel like God's called me to preach. And I said, there ain't no way. And he said, I'm serious, Mr. Stout. I believe God's called me to preach. And I said, son, just pray. Just pray. He's 15 years old. He came to me a few days later and he said, I've prayed, I can't get out of it. I said, I never told you to try to get out of it. I've heard some preachers say if you feel like God's calling you to preach, run from it, try to get out of it. If you can get out of it, then you wasn't called in the first place. I understand that. Oh, that's all right, I guess. But I would never tell somebody to run from a call of God. And I said, son, I didn't tell you to run. I told you to pray. He said, God's called me to preach. I said, well, that's good. And that's why I went and got him a suit and everything. And he brought me an outline. I mean, it looked like something Harold Seitler had put together. I mean, man, it was amazing. I said, I'll use that. I didn't, but I said I was. I'm getting to the point here. About a year later, he was 16 years old, about to turn 17. He got mixed up with a little old girl. Decided he wanted out. Was tired of people looking at him. Tired of people telling him that a preacher shouldn't act like that. He told me that. Within another year, but right before his 18th birthday, he's in prison. He'd run from God. He called me the other day. He wasn't in prison. He was in prison for a while. He got in jail there in Sullivan County, and he called me, and he says he got out. Wanted to know if he could come see me. I said, sure you can. Love to see you. Got one question. He said, what's that? I said, have you been to an altar? And he says, he never called me that. He's always called me Mr. Stout. Because I was his teacher. He says, Brother Chuck, my heart is right with God. He said, I've messed up and I've lost a lot of things, but my heart is right with God. I said, you want to preach Wednesday night? And he said these words. He said, I'm not ready yet. I said, you know you're still called of God. He said, I know. He said, but I've got to get a few other things in order. And I said, that's wise, son. My whole point to that is this. He didn't do what God told him to do and nearly ruined his life. Cost his grandparents thousands of dollars because he didn't do what God asked him to do. Because he turned from the direction God had sent him. If you don't think for a minute that your direction affects others, think about that young man. Let me tell you about a preacher, a pastor. He was from the Bristol area, moved north, and decided that he's just changed a few things. Now he's out of the ministry. Both of his sons, one's a grown man, one's still 17, 18 years old, hellions. I mean, full of hell itself. His young daughter used to be one of the sweetest girls you ever meet. She's full of the world. Run away from his wife, shacked up with another woman somewhere in North Carolina, western or eastern North Carolina. You say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? He left the altar. He left God's will. And he took his whole family with him. His whole family. That oldest son of his can sing. He's got talent. Got a beautiful voice. I mean a manly voice, but it's beautiful. Plays guitar, plays piano, whatever, you know. I mean, he can play it. Threw it away. Now he's playing Johnny Cash. Playing in bars. Instead of singing for Jesus, he's out playing in bars somewhere. Barroom music. Say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Daddy left an altar. Abraham obeyed and went. If you read there in Hebrews 11, when it talks about Abraham, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went. Everything you see in that verse in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews about Abraham was action. He did what God told him to do. If you want revival, you're going to have to obey and do what God's called us to do. All of us. I mean me too. Listen, I need revival as much as anybody does. I need it every day. Brother Leonard Fletcher preaches a message called Daily Revival. Have you ever heard? Y'all know Brother Leonard, I'm sure. It's an Avon bottle. And that product's called Daily Revival. Boy, it'd be good if it was that easy. Just pour it out of a bottle and rub it on. But it ain't. You know what we have to do? Have to get back to an altar. Mama, you need to get back to an altar so your little girl follows the right example. Daddy, you need to be a man and do what a man's supposed to do so your children know what to do, where to go, and how to act, and what to listen to. We're supposed to be that. God forbid my children run out into the world. If they do, it won't be, by the grace of God, it won't be because they've seen Daddy or Mama do it. I'll lock my wife in the house. She goes crazy and loses her mind, I'll lock her up somewhere. And if I do, I'm going to ask her to lock me up or shoot me one. I'd hate to stand at judgment one day and answer for my children because they've lived a wicked life because they said, well, Daddy did this. Daddy done that. I had one of the best pies I've ever eaten for supper tonight. Man, it was good stuff. And Brother Wynn called it a hypocrite pie. The top of it, and listen, Sister Kim, I'm not throwing off on you cooking. That was the best. I'm telling you, that's one of the best pies I've ever eaten. But that pie, the top of it was about this tall. And when she cut into it, it was about that tall. And Brother Wynn made the statement. He said it looks a lot better, or something to this effect, how it looked better on the outside than it did on the inside. Tasted good all the way around. But when God looks out of heaven tonight and looks at us, is what he sees on the inside as pretty as what's on the outside? He proved Abraham. He said, Abraham, I know that thou love me. Right. Abraham, I know you love me because you gave me what I ask you. When God asks you tonight for something, are you just going to give it? Or will he have to prove you? I don't want it to be necessary for me to be taken to that point to where God says, it's either do what I said or I'm taking your daughter. So God loves me. He won't do that. God will prove his children. He'll chastise you, and the very first thing he'll take is what means the most to you. Said, preacher, that's crazy. Is that not what he said to Abraham? Abraham, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Says, Abraham, I need to prove you. It's awful quiet for revival. I'm going to tell you something. It takes humility to get revival. It takes proof to get revival. You say, preacher, I'm not. Somebody, I really feel like we're kind of a strange spirit right now. And I'm not trying to be all charismatic or Pentecostal or nothing like that, but somebody's sitting there saying, I wouldn't come to that altar right now if I had to, because I'm not proving you nothing to you. You've missed the whole point, friend. You don't have to prove nothing to me. I'll turn my back. I'll walk out the back door. I want you to be right with God when you leave here. You don't have to be right with me. You have to be right with me to be right with God, but you don't have to prove anything to me. Please don't misunderstand that. God's trying to prove somebody tonight. Maybe it's me. But I promise you this, before I walk out those doors, I'll give him everything he asked me for. I believe I have tonight. It's not easy to preach like this. It's easy to preach meetings where people shout and stuff. It's easy to do that. I could come in here, see, that's what I wanted tonight. Come here and talk about where I found the lamb. And I could have all y'all shouting, smiling, and praising God and stuff, but I'm not a spiritual cheerleader. You ever heard of those? You've seen them before. Preacher, get anybody to shout. It ain't real, but they can get them to shout. Because they're spiritual cheerleaders. I'm not a cheerleader. I didn't even play football in high school. I played basketball. Some. I was too short and fat. I couldn't get around real well. I'm not a cheerleader. I'll tell you what I am tonight. I am what you see. I'm nothing. Nobody will remember my name 50 years from now. Don't matter. Nobody will know what church I pastored or where I've preached. Nobody will remember that. And you know what? I don't care. I'm not in this for me. I want them to remember one thing. When I leave here, if you never remember my name, my prayer to God is that you get help from Him and that you remember how much I love Jesus. That's all. That's all. Tonight, God's asked us a question. Will you make an altar? Will you prepare a sacrifice? And will you present yourself, not your son, not your daughter, not your material gains, not your bank account, not your livestock, not your business, nothing. But will you present yourself to an almighty God tonight? He said that was your reasonable service. Not above and beyond, not award winning. He said, it's just reasonable. It's all I ask. Will you give me you? Will you stand to your feet tonight?